Sup.
Sup, Mef. Sup, Patreon members. This week on Deep Dive, we go deep into the sewers and discuss the Heroes in a Half Shell.
Oh, yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right, Zach. So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was huge to me as a kid. Before we get into the pinball machine, I would like to just state that this was the most collected toy in my little world as a, what, like 6-7-year-old. Although I watched the bejesus out of He-Man and X-Men 87 later and everything surrounding it, Turtles for me was the, like, I need the new Leonardo toy. I need the new Michelangelo toy, Donatello. I got to at least have all four of them. I want to have the Technodrome. I want to have all the stuff. Got very little, mind you. And any of it that I did get, I had to pay from, like, mowing lawns and selling, like, I don't know, my soul at that age, whatever it was, selling lemonade. Were you a Turtles fan as a kid?
Yeah, this is my He-Man, G.I. Joe's, Transformers. This is my thing, just like you. This was huge. It was my entire orbit growing up was Turtles. When Turtles 2 came out, and I would have been, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11, I remember biking, you know, like miles away to the theater across major streets to go to the movie theater, you know, by myself with a friend, which is probably incredibly stupid. But like, yeah, I was very devoted.
The Secret of the Ooze was badass. The first movie was badass. The cartoon was badass. The first Nintendo game was not great, but the second one was great. The arcade game.
Man, that first, I know that we're already on a tangent, but this is just such a huge theme if you're our age. That 8-bit Nintendo game, wow. You want to talk about brutal for being brutal?
Yeah, yeah.
Just the underwater level, the weird jumping across blocks, and sometimes you're not supposed to jump, you're just supposed to know to run across them. Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a thing.
Maybe that was the inspiration of the pinball machine of like, let's make it
maybe
brutal, but not brutal in the way of like, this makes sense. It's just maybe It's a little spoilers of some of my opinion on this, but like, let's make the game just like, what the fuck are you doing? So getting into the pinball machine itself, let's start with the facts, Zach. Let's give me the facts of this game.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's a John Borg design, pretty classic. He's got three or four kind of hallmarks of his designs, and this is kind of one of those. The software is by Dwight Sullivan with some support from Mike Vinicor, and artwork by Zombie Yeti. It came out in May 2020, and there's three models, Pro, Premium, LE. The LEs in this are still when they were doing 500 and still when they cost 9K. So a little bit of a different era, even though it's not that long ago. But this is also Zombie Yeti was incredibly busy at the time doing a lot of games all at once, and I think this is the first one where his daughter helped do the art on.
Oh, really?
And yeah, which is kind of cool. He was under quite a bit of pressure, and it still has three different translites, where like AIQ right around the same time had the Premium and the LE with the same translite. But he was doing so much work for Stern that his daughter helped out, which is kind of cool.
There was that thing in the beginning. Shout out to Joel Engelberth from Triple Drain and all that kind of stuff. Because when I was getting into mainly buying games, it was the second round of I quit and I came back. I was listening to his Just Another Pinball podcast back then, and he was a huge fan of this game and often talked about it. But one of the first concerns he had was on the printing of the playfield for that gorgeous art. There was like printing issues in the beginning.
A lot of printing issues in the beginning. You know, and the immediate reaction to this game was pretty good, which is crazy with how quickly that changed. But you know, the differences between the Pro and the Premium, if we want to cover that real quick, they're pretty stark, honestly, because you get some code differences and some mechanical differences. In the Pro Premium LE, the van stores balls, and then they come out during a multi-ball. The motorized spinner spins both directions, and the lair has an additional switch for storing balls that kind of affects some of the different way it can hold balls for scoring increases. And I'm trying to remember if there's anything else. The Krang.
Oh, yeah.
The, yeah, the Krang that goes up and down.
Which to me, is for me, the out of all the differences, aside from the way that the shooter lane, the entrance of the ball, which I think is a major playing difference.
I was going to cover that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Which is, that probably is the objective correct answer of what's the biggest difference. But for me, when I'm playing it and just like not thinking of that, the Krang, I love when that fucker is bouncing up and down.
The Krang is so cool. And people kept making different, like that. The Krang is like the one thing, my buddy got an LE, so I got to play it a ton day one. I owned a pro.
For the rest of this episode and other deep dives, please check out patreon.com/pinballparty. The link's in the description below. We appreciate your support.